Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Action fanatics, welcome to another edition of the Bulletproof Podcast. I'm your host, Chris the Brain. Joining me, my co-host, Chad Cruz. And Chad, we are going into the sword and sorcery realm this time out.
We sure are, and it's one of those sub-genres I don't think that we've hit in the past, have we?
Well, I think Kroll technically falls in there, but this is more pure.
Yeah, it doesn't have as much the fantasy element to it as Kroll did with the science fiction and the fucking lasers and shit like that.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we're not only are we entering that sub-genre, that realm of sword and sorcery, but we're doing it kind of with a big one, with a cult favorite here.
Absolutely. That's probably my favorite of the genre. But before we get into our movie, we have to talk about it. It was like 24 hours after we recorded our last show, Maniac Cop, starring Richard Roundtree. The news hit that Richard Roundtree had passed away. And oh, what a punch to the stomach that was. I mean, John freaking Shaft was immortal, Chad Cruz.
Right. I mean, I think we even mentioned it. You know, these things normally happen in threes. I don't want to take the blame for it, but maybe you should.
You didn't come up with that.
You're kind of the host of this program. But
I'm kind of the host.
You are this, but I do most of the work.
That's everybody knows that.
It's very sad. I mean, obviously, Richard Roundtree is a legend, just like crossover star amongst like cultures. You know what I mean? Like there are so many people, with the blaxploitation era, and then just being so well known amongst fans of kind of all genres of film. It really kind of was a massive punch to the stomach.
Yeah. And I think, Shaft and the success of Shaft to me is what was part of the spark to get that blaxploitation, because then you had the Superflies and you had the Slaughters and everybody else that followed.
Right.
If you didn't have John Shaft, who was one bad mother, you wouldn't have had, I don't know if you'd have any of it, it was, he was a trailblazer and, very sad, sad news, but, we might have to cover Shaft one of these days.
I don't think it's a bad idea at all.
It is. I don't think it is either. So we'll have to put that on the list maybe for 2024, because 2023, Chad Cruz, is rapidly running out.
Yes, it is. I mean, we just recently had the time change. Which it's still affecting you and I, you wouldn't think that an hour would affect you that much, but you know what? I'm done with this time change bullshit.
Yeah.
Enough of it.
I know they've talked about getting rid of it, but I don't know. It never gets too far.
It was for farmers, correct? Isn't that like the whole thing?
So they have more daylight.
Do you know what farming is now? You get in your goddamn combine and you hit a button and your GPS just fucking drives you around.
Yeah.
Come on. They don't need an extra hour. It's different. No. You think that extra hour, they're like, well, an extra hour, I'm going to sleep in. You know what I mean? No, they wake up.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right. To hell with the farmers. They got robots now. I don't need it to be freaking dark at 5 o'clock at night.
And to be honest with you, Brian, I do most of my growing in my basement here.
Okay.
Yeah. If you hear me spritzing over here, that's what it is.
Yeah, I hear you spritzing. All right. I hear you. I hear a lot of bull crap coming out. Before we get one more thing, so we've complained about the daylight savings time. let's talk about our social media. You can complain about things there like everybody else does. You can complain to us if you want. A lot of that gets ignored, though, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah, I don't even...
At Bulletproof Pod on Twitter, at Bulletproof Action on Instagram and Facebook. And yes, we are also on Threads with our, like, less than 300 followers.
Boom.
We got some work to do over there, but I think that's everybody on Threads, to be honest with you. All right, let's get into it. Chad Cruz, did you remember seeing this movie, or was this a first time watch for you?
I think I mentioned it to you that I don't recall ever watching this.
Right.
And
I didn't know if watching it for the pod, like, jarred your memory, like, of course.
It didn't really, you know, there might've been a scene or two, but it might've just been because it was so generic at times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think, I mean, this is definitely a first time, like, all the way through the watch. Way through. So yeah, I would consider it a first time.
And what we are talking about is 1987's Death Stalker 2, also known as Death Stalker 2, Duel of the Titans.
Whoa.
This thing, actually, this week, it hit the video stores back in November of 1987, November 11th, to be exact.
Right. Good month.
And, of course, yeah, I may as well just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
As you're hearing this, people, Chad Cruz.
Yeah.
Is a year older because his birthday is tomorrow, as we're recording this, Tuesday, the 7th.
It's a big day. 1997, Starship Troopers came out on my birthday. I went and saw it. Baddest fucking movie ever. It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, just so many great things. I also, Mr. Bean came out that day too. I saw that in theaters, not the same day, but a different day. Yeah, you know, just a lot of great things happened on that day throughout history. I think that was also...
So it wasn't like the Barbie-Oppenheimer thing where you had to see them both on the same day.
No, I don't
know. There wasn't a...
Starship Bean?
Right. Yeah, that
sounds like a porno.
There may have been one of those, but it probably didn't come out on the 7th of November. Yeah, probably a little bit afterwards.
Yeah. Either way, good day.
So happy birthday to you, Chad.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Because that's about all you're going to get from me is that public greeting. This one comes out. Let's talk first things first before we even get into the movie. The amazing poster.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing, all right.
When you see the movie, which I love the movie, and we'll get into that as we go, but the movie and the poster really don't have much in common.
No, the poster is, it reminds me so much of Golden Axe, that awesome arcade game from back in the day. I don't know if that's what they were going for, but it's fantastic. The poster looks incredible. There's so much skin and striations and just a lovely pair of breasts on there. You had swords and axes and other swords. And yeah, it really draws you into a movie that is nothing like that poster.
Yeah, I can imagine someone like either going, you know, seeing it in the video store, like, oh yeah, I want this. Oh, let's go home. And it was really almost a parody of sword and sorcery movies more than it was a pure sword and sorcery movie.
It feels very much like Hercules Xena, where it's like comical. It's it's, I don't know, campy.
Definitely campy.
But it's got a lot of good tits in it.
Yeah, that was the one thing when you said, you know, you weren't sure if you had seen it. And I'm like, well, I know I enjoy this movie. Yeah, and I thought to myself, well, I at least know there's some parts of the movie that Chad will enjoy. He won't completely be like, why did you make me watch this? I hate you.
Right. And I think when you're doing a film and you're in, you're kind of latching on to a genre or a series of films. You know, every time a big movie comes out, they come out, you know, like King Kong comes out, and then you have like Kong, King of the Apes, you know, or some bullshit. You have to make an attempt to do at least one thing better than that film. You're never going to be able to match the budget or maybe the acting quality and what have you, or the special effects. But if you could do something well, then you will have succeeded in my eyes. So when you watch, you know, Sword and Sorcerer and stuff like that, like there are certain things that are really good in those movies. You know, they're never going to match Conan the Barbarian or whatever for quality. But when it comes to Deathstalker 2, a lot of good titties in it. And it also has your buddy, your boy from Chopping Mall in it, John Terleski.
John Terleski. And, you know, I'm glad you also mentioned Sword and the Sorcerer, because we should also mention Richard Mole has passed away, and he was in
Sorcerer.
So does he start the next three? I don't know. I don't want to think
about it. I think it's in when they say it comes in threes, I think it just like never ends. Because, you know, Matthew Perry died.
He did.
I don't know. Was he in the three?
That was a shocker. Or, yeah, was it Matthew Perry, Richard Mole, and somebody?
I don't know. Everyone's dying. I mean, who cares, really? Right?
Yeah, okay. This one, you mentioned Chopping Mall. It was directed by Jim Wynorski, which is another reason we have a lot of boobs in this movie, who directed Chopping Mall.
Good on him.
The cold open features freaking Chopping Mall music because the composer, Chuck Cirino, was the composer for both movies. As he said, we start off, we meet Deathstalker, who is John Terleski, doing his thing. He's fighting off guards. He's outnumbered, but he's not outwitted, Chad Cruz.
No, he is not outwitted. I don't like saying that word, outwitted.
Because you're witless. All right, Deathstalker manages to escape, but we meet Sultana, played by Tony Naples, who I will have to also mention had a brief appearance as a beauty queen in the opening credit sequence of, again, Chopping Mall. Freaking Chopping Mall. We covered that. Check the archives. And she says, this is a great one. This is as good of a dinger as RoboCop 2, where they introduce RoboCop 2, because she says, I'll have my revenge. And Deathstalker 2. And then, boom, the Deathstalker 2 title card comes up. We get our opening credits. That's beautiful. Very rare you could say the a movie sequel. Can't work that into the dialogue.
No.
They did a little trick there with the English language.
And the
multiple twos. But it works.
Most people won't recognize that you spell death, you know, two T-O-O at the end of that. Now, what if the original script said, I'll have my revenge and also Deathstalker? Yeah,
if she
and somebody was like, whoa.
Either she improvised it or somebody was like, wait a minute now. Yeah, no, I think we know that was by design and was very well done.
Now this.
This
really felt like this would have been a good episode to bring back RTG wherever he may have been.
Where is RTG?
I think he could have added a lot to this one because
he would have had the measurements for sure.
He would have had Tony Naples' measurements because I don't remember seeing her exposed chesticles at any point. So I wonder.
I think it's a body double later. We'll get into that.
That hurts my heart.
Because you never see, we'll get to there. This would have been a great RTG episode. Maybe if you're listening, RTG, we hope you're doing well. Hit us up. This would have been perfect for him because he enjoyed talking about boobs.
You know what, though? I love the mystery behind RTG right now. Where is he? Yeah. What happened to him?
Yeah. Is he okay? People are asking me. We haven't talked to him. We have not spoke to him.
This is legitimate. We have no idea.
Not by, like, we're not, there's no, like, I'm never speaking to him again. Just, he's, you know, maybe wisely he's taken a break from social media, which I don't blame any human being on earth. I would not be on social media if not for this podcast and the website and a few people that I do keep in touch using it. But
would you still use Threads?
No, I would never use Threads.
Damn it.
I mean, unless it's suddenly, I don't have a personal Threads. It's only for the bulletproof action. All right. So we get our opening credits and we meet another very key character to this, Rena the Seer.
Yeah.
Monique Gabriel is who plays that character. And she is basically thrown out on her ass. She tells the guards that are throwing her out, you know, I'm a princess. they don't, they're like, whatever. And they start messing with her, but our boy Deathstalker shows up and helps out this damsel in distress, as Deathstalkers are known to do.
Yeah, apparently they do that. But yeah, he kind of appears, right place, right time, saves this young, beautiful woman, and just kind of kicks these guys' asses. I mean, I don't think he kills any of them. He just kind of whoops their ass and
yeah, he just whoops their ass.
Yeah. Which is, you know,
he doesn't know at that point what's going on. He's just like, hey, leave her alone. I'm here to get a drink and have some fun. You're in my way. This brouhaha is preventing me from getting to where I want to go. So he takes care of that. He actually passes by, just kind of like, hi, woman, I helped. That's all, you know, just a day in my life. So we get inside the tavern and we get some topless dancers. Our first exposed boobs of the
score.
Movie. Here's a pig man. And then we see Deathstalker. He's got a woman on each side of him, and it's looking like he's planning a little group fun for later that evening.
What do you, like a board game night or something?
Perhaps, if that's maybe how the evening would start. Maybe that's all they would do. Maybe that's all he was interested in, but I got a feeling it was something else.
What do you mean?
I think one would be, never mind. I don't
want to get into it. You're talking, you mean, yeah, fuck them both.
Yeah,
I get
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying. One would be sitting on one end of them, one might be sitting on the other end of them.
Oh, yeah,
maybe maybe one of the girl would be
his face, one's on his face,
or she'd be and have her face somewhere, and he'd be in the behind looking at it happening. You know, there's all kinds of different combinations and things you can do in that scenario,
right? They wrote a book on this once, right?
I'm sure of several. I think there's movies that may depict the possibilities.
What? I wonder if Monique Gabrielle. Yes, she is. Oh my God. Go ahead and Google search Monique Gabrielle.
Yeah. She did something.
She's definitely done some.
It may be called Deathstroker. Anyway.
It took me about 5 seconds to find him, by the way.
Rena comes in. She's like, hey, you know, blah, 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 blah. The guards, who I think were the same guards who threw her out, were like, hey, didn't we get rid of you?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, the rules, you know, no matter if it's a bar, if it's a tavern, it's a pub, you got a hero in there, a fight's going to break out. And Deathstalker gets to do something that I only dream of doing one day, and that he's flipping over tables.
Yes.
There's patrons going through tables. There's guards going through windows. It's total chaos, total pandemonium. It's exactly what you want in a bar fight. And at some point, though, it's like Deathstalker's like, you better get the hell out of here. So him and Rena hop on his horse, and they take off into the night. But the guards hop on their horses. They're chasing them. They've got arrows. They're shooting at them. This is quite the scenario that these two have found themselves in.
Right. And did you notice when they escaped through the bar, she took him out her back door?
Oh, no. Yeah. Out the back door.
Which is something you'll find if you search for her name.
Thank you. I wonder, when you do that, do people just shut this shit off and go immediately?
I hope they open up another tab. Just right click and open up in a
because
separate tab.
I'll tell you what, I did see a Twitter post from an AEW loyalist.
Okay. Yeah. Sweet. Good.
That Matthew Perry died just a few minutes into Collision. Like, that's when the news hit. And that explained why Collision's ratings were down for that night. Because everybody had to Google this information. And when you Google something, you have to shut everything else down.
Yeah.
You cannot have the TV going and your phone in your hand Googling. No.
Yeah.
You got to respect Matthew Perry. You got to shut everything off. You got to light some fucking candles and you got to Google. And then I don't know. I mean, how long does it take you to, I mean, that should have popped right up. Did you just then Google his entire career, his filmography, like some of these yahoos when we mention somebody, and if we don't mention their entire life story, they get pissy. I don't know. Right.
You know,
am I just being pissy about something? I don't know.
A little bit, but we tend to do that on this podcast. But also Matthew Perry and Fools Rush In, that was a fun movie with Sam Hayek.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
He was. He was a very handsome man.
For anyone who did search for Monique Gabrielle,
yeah,
in their potentially 5 to 7 minutes into the video now, and you just happen to be listening to this podcast, I just wanted to give them a little something extra here. Hold on. Oh, shit. That's it. That's good. That should be enough for them. Just run that in a loop.
I want to run off this podcast. All right. So yeah, they get away from the pursuers. Deathstalk refers to himself as Prince of Thieves. So Rena's like, oh, so you rob from the rich and give to the poor? And he's like, no, I rob from the rich and pretty much keep everything for myself, which I love this Death Stalker. I love this iteration. Good. He's too cool for school. He's
quick too. I mean, obviously it's scripted. It's not like he's coming up. It's not off the top of his head, but he's Terlesky. He's like, he's charismatic. You kind of rooting for him. I mean, there's some things later in the film that I really appreciate about the guy, but like at this point in the movie, you know, he's got all these, you know, these quips that are pretty solid.
It was a shame he was like the first to go in Chopping Mall, so it was good to get to see more of him here and get to do his thing and show that personality and that charisma that you mentioned. So she takes him back. She being Rena pronouns. Mm-hmm. She takes him back to her hut, fixes her special soup, which apparently is the worst tasting shit he's ever had.
Yeah,
She uses her crystal ball to predict his future, and I will point out that the crystal ball was actually a doorknob.
Yeah, I thought so.
So, in case you didn't catch that, and she tells him about the land of Jafar, and that he needs to go there to defeat Jarek, the evil sorcerer, who is also quite the swordsman, and if he could defeat Jarek, save the princess, he'll get a huge reward and become a legend right up there with the likes of Conan the Barbarian.
I don't remember her saying that. She said that, Conan the Barbarian?
She just said Conan.
Oh, okay.
I added the Barbarian.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. I mean, you know, the character of Conan was a thief.
Yeah. You had to do what you had to do back in those days.
Yeah, so I mean,
these worlds,
it's fine.
These
realms. I think one of the problems with this whole, I mean, predict your future and then do all these things that actually end up being correct, I guess. But everyone kind of looks at her like she's a joke.
Yeah,
it would have been better if they had looked at her like she was some like supernatural crazy witch, because she can actually predict the future. You know, instead they're like, shut up, bitch! Like nobody like believes her. So
right. And spoiler alert, there's a reason she knows about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're about to find out some of that, because we then get to see Jarek the Sorcerer doing some of his sword practice, doing a little sparring, basically killing expendable soldier types. Mm-hmm. And he's interrupted by, is this Rena? No, it's Princess Evie, also played by Monique Gabriel. And she is an exact duplicate of Rena, created by Jarek, and used this fake princess to take over the kingdom.
It's a pretty good plan, honestly.
And Rena obviously escaped at some point, and this is where we're at.
So, real quick, Brain.
Yeah.
She's the princess. She rules the kingdom?
Apparently.
Shouldn't she just be a queen then? I don't understand why she's not queen.
Maybe there's rules there about you have to be a certain age. I don't know.
I mean, she's certainly over 18. Please, God, tell me she's over 18.
Yeah, especially with what you're watching. Yes.
I've got it on in the background right now.
Maybe the queen is still alive, but maybe she's not well or something. Maybe
okay. It could be. We'll make it up.
In the royal nursing home.
Yes.
waiting her time. Yeah. So your girl Sultana shows up as a proposition for Jarek. Hey, you get Rena. I know that's what you're after, but she's hooked up with this bastard Deathstalker that I need to get my revenge on. Jarek's like, oh, I'm one step ahead of you, lady. I got my one-eyed guy following him. And he'll let us know what's going on. So Tana goes to find One Eye, and he introduces her to his whole rogues gallery of characters. Then, shortly after that little introductory scene, we get to see these guys in action, and they've got explosive arrows, Chad, and they are just shooting the hell all around Deathstalker and Rena as they're on the horse. I mean, quite a scene. It really just is there just to blow shit up, and really doesn't serve much purpose in the grand scheme of things.
No, I mean, we meet this rogues gallery, as you called them, and they're great. Their backstories that we get for 10 seconds are fantastic, but you know they're all probably not what they appear to be, and they're all terrible, which we see shortly after that, but it's great to have explosions in a movie like this, because there's not like there's going to be a fucking grenades and missiles and stuff. So you got to blow up what you can. So having explosive arrows is pretty cool.
But Deathstalker has some weapons of his own, surprisingly. And I forgot about these. And when I rewatched it, I freaking popped. So he had shuriken.
Yeah, why not, dude? He's Deathstalker.
So he has blades of all kind, a knife. He obviously has a sword, and he even had some shuriken. So he uses these tools of his trade to take out these bad guys.
And didn't he throws a knife at a guy at one point, kills the guy. And then he's like, hey, will you grab that knife out of that guy? It's my last one.
Yeah. It's the last one. Yeah.
It's funny. Like that's
exactly.
There were several times during the movie where I'm like, this movie's dumb, but I'm having fun.
Thank you. When we say this is an enjoyable movie, that's what we're saying. It's an enjoyable. Is this a cinematic masterpiece? Absolutely not. But you know what? It's freaking fun. And every once in a while, it's nice to have some 85 minutes of fun.
Yeah. What? Look at the poster. Look how awesome it is. Yeah. Look at these, you know, girls with their tits out. Those are great.
Yeah.
Dudes throwing ninja stars. There's things blowing up and like a movie of this kind, it doesn't really make sense, but it's great. So yeah, there's fun things for sure.
Well, I don't know how much fun they have when they show up at the graveyard again, talking about Deathstalker and Rena. But Deathstalker decides, you know what? I need some cash.
I'm here. Why not?
I'm here. They don't need it, being the dead people. Look, there's a mausoleum. You know, if you're in a mausoleum, you had some money.
That's right.
You're not just thrown in the ground. You're up there. So I'm going to go in the mausoleum. So he goes inside. Rena's like, I'm not going in there. Next thing you know, the door closes. He's trapped inside. She can't get in. While he's inside the mausoleum, Jarek, the sorcerer, is able to appear to him using his sorcery.
Yes.
And, you know, basically has a little dialogue with him. And then, but I'm going to get rid of you, which kind of goes against, you know, he told Sultana she could have him. So that just tells you you can't even trust this Jarek.
Yeah. Because
if his plan worked, Deathstalker would have been done here. Spoiler alert. The crushing wall comes towards him. He makes some smart-ass remark about spikes. Next thing you know, spikes shoot out of there. I mean, if that worked, there would be no Deathstalker for Sultana to get.
Right. Yeah, thankfully for everyone, it didn't work, and I never expected it to work. But he also got another the old crushing wall, huh? How about that? Like he's not worried about it at all.
He's been down this path before, apparently.
He's really got like the very much like a Han Solo vibe.
You know what? That is exactly a note I had.
Yeah,
and it's not a note I had made when I was like, he is freaking Han Solo.
And it's not just because of like the wall, like of course the crushing wall is the part where we mention it, but
it's the swagger.
The swagger and the coolness, and he's like picking up every chick in the movie without even trying really. which is cool. I mean, that's what literally every man on earth wants to be. Like, yeah. If I, you know, I normally walk into a room and they're all into me, but that's just because of me. But I can imagine not being this way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely know the feeling. Outside of the mausoleum, it's not really much better for Rena because zombies are starting to pop out of the ground.
Yeah. Why not? Fuck it.
Deathstalker uses the spikes in the wall to basically use them as a ladder because he notices there's an opening up at the top and he goes through there, jumps down, saves Rena yet again as he just starts taking his sword to all the zombies. And now we find out a nice little twist about our Princess Evie is she basically needs human sacrifices to survive at this point. So they bring her in this like sad sack of a man who doesn't look like he's eaten in about 3 years.
Yeah.
And she eats him.
Yeah.
Not in the way that your movie that you're watching over there is.
This
is
right. A different kind. Yeah. She's like sucking him off and stuff. In the movie, she, you know, he comes in and I'm like, okay, here we go, pal. Good for you. And then you realize that he's not going to live.
Right.
So it's not a good trade off. I don't care.
No.
Who you are. Yeah. How hot she is. Not worth it.
Back to Deathstalker and Rena. They stop for the night, get a little cuddle time in because it's going to be cold when that fire goes down. But the fire might be going down, but something's coming up because we get a boner joke.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you have like a scene where you're in close proximity, you almost have to throw that in there. But, you know, I guarantee she's seen bigger after this Google search I've run on her.
Okay. Oh, my. The next morning, they're back on the road, but not for long because they are quickly captured by a tribe of Amazons and not the not the trucks that come to your house and drop off your copy of Deathstalker 2 or the movie that Chad's watching because you want a hard copy of it.
I don't think it's on disc or
that's a shame.
Anything.
The Amazon Queen, it's like, hey, you know, you kind of look like this demon princess that comes here. Oh, no, that's not me. I'm okay. So, and the Amazon Queen believes it. So that's that. But she knows exactly who this freaking Deathstalker is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, at first he's like, oh yeah, of course you know who I am. I'm great. But these Amazons don't like his womanizing ways and all his crimes against women. So he's going on trial, and here it's always trial by combat. So he is gonna have to go one on one with one of the Amazons, and he's looking around and he's I'm fine.
He's like, yeah. Whatever. Who are they going to throw at me? Look at me.
Then we get the big introduction of Gorgo.
Yeah.
Played by Dee Boer, a.k.a. Queen Kong, a.k.a. Matilda the Hun, whatever iteration of Glow that you may have caught her in. So we get the big Deathstalker versus Gorgo matchup. Gorgo gets that big entrance. It's a fight to the death. And this is really one of the longest sequences in the movie, it felt like, Chad.
My God, this is long. This
goes on for a bit.
This is longer than any Ultimate Warrior match I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was pretty, they were doing some moves out there. I was surprised. I mean, this isn't a pretty obvious stump double a few times for Terlesky.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun to see. I mean, we're kind of nerds in that wrestling world, but so we enjoyed it, but some other a-hole might've watched him be like, this is the dumbest scene ever. But, it was kind of neat to see.
Yeah. Always liked when, Queen Kong would pop up in something. You never knew where she would show up. I know she did a Married with Children. I remember her in.
I could see Al Bundy react to her.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the fight does go, it goes, I think like something like maybe 15 rounds or so. It goes the distance. with Deathstalker making the big comeback. But you know, they may have said it's a fight to the death, but he's like, I'm not going to kill this woman. And, it kind of just ends it at that. They obviously though has gained respect from everyone. Afterwards, Rena finally like, hey, I am a princess. Jarrah created an evil princess to take. And at this point, Deathstalker is over. He's like, whatever. I don't care. He hits the line. I'd rather be an obscure thief than a famous fool. He's like, I'm not falling for your bullcrap. You've been basically not telling me things the whole time.
Yeah.
You're done.
She's using him. I mean, how many times has he saved her life?
At least three at this point, I believe.
But it is a bit too, like, so we've seen him throughout the film kind of court these ladies. And she's kind of like, you know, doing some insinuation there when they're in the sleep sack, and he could have totally finished that off, but he didn't. Oh, yeah. He chose not to. So I don't know what was up with Deathstalker. I guess I don't have enough restraint.
So you're saying she would have known if that was a sword or if you were happy to see her.
Yeah. She would have been like,
she would have known.
I know what that is, and I'm not impressed.
All right. Back at the castle, Princess Evie is throwing a tantrum and dishes. But Jarrah comes, is like, hey, hold up. Hold up. I've got the solution to our problem. The last missing piece of the puzzle to make this whole scam of his work. He has created the elixir that will be needed. Because right now, for Princess Evie to be alive, Rena has to be alive. But with this elixir, Rena could just be dead. Right. And now there will be no double. As far as anyone's concerned, that's the one and only princess, Princess Evie. So an interesting little bit there. And they do a little experiment to make sure it works. And it does. So
I still think that, you know, if Jarrah is as smart as we're meant to believe, he should have at least had like two or three Evies, like a couple more. I mean, if I can make one copy, why wouldn't I make multiple copies?
Say that's, you're being.
Yes,
you might I be am. Being, you're being greedy.
I am.
And that's where it would really have destroyed everything right away.
And horny.
Okay. Okay. This is why you have three kids. back at the Amazon camp, it is party time. They're just having a good old time. Rena sees Deathstalker making out with the Amazon Queen, and she storms off as a result.
Nice.
The Deathstalker and the Queen action moves into the Queen's tent, and Queen is getting herself ready for a night of sex.
You say it in such a way that makes it so erotic.
But when she mentions the next morning, so they do things a little bit differently here in Amazon Town.
Yeah.
They first consummate, and then in the morning, they're going to get married. When he hears that, Deathstalker does the classic spit take, and he is out of there and goes, hey, what happened to the seer? Oh, she left a while ago. All right. So he goes looking for Rena, but Rena at this point has already been captured by Sultana.
You know what I would have loved there, though? I'm sorry.
Rebook it.
If I'm going to rebook this real quick, Brian, if he had said,
take your time.
And he's like, so in the morning we have to get married. And she's like, yes. In the morning, he'd be like, what time? Around what time? And she's like,
see where you're going.
At first light. And he'd be like, first light. Gotcha. And then we see him wake up in the middle of the night and sneak out before first light. And he's like racing against the sun, you know? And so then he, you know, he still gets to consummate.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah.
Because he's a hound dog like me.
Would that have prevented the Amazons from showing up later? Would that? I mean, she probably was already a bit perturbed, but that may have really set her off where she's
you like, could be right.
You know, that you may have ruined things for where we're heading. But I understand where you're going. I mean, that makes that's what would really happen.
Right. And or the lovemaking would have been so intense. And she would have been obligated to marry him at that point because they've consummated. So she's actually going to rescue her husband.
True.
And right, then at the end, he marries both of them. Boom.
Yeah. Or what if it was so intense, he couldn't wake up before first light?
That does happen.
Right. Like she was more than he bargained for and knocked his ass out.
I'm going to have to look her up now.
Okay. So yeah, we've got our girl Rena. She's been captured. We got the classic. She's kind of like hanging over this cauldron of what I would imagine is some sort of acid, because Sultana said, I could dip your legs in there and you'd still be alive from the waist up.
Looked like soup to me.
It may have been her soup, which was awful.
Oh, yeah.
Rena's soup I'm talking about. Not,
yes.
I don't know what your...
I don't know.
Secretions. All right. this bubbling cauldron of secretions. She's just hanging there. You know, the classic setup. But once again, here's our boy Deathstalker with the save. Gets in a big sword fight with Sultana.
Yep.
And during all this, the rope that's basically just holding, has her hanging there, is on fire, and the fire is getting closer and closer. Yeah. And this rope, you know, how long could this rope stand? She's going to fall. She's going to fall into the secretion cauldron. But Deathsucker kills Sultana, manages to save. He basically does like the Edge Jeff Hardy TLC spot.
Right. Takes DDTs her down. Himself. And you know what? That wouldn't have been the first time she was covered in secretions. So
I bet you are right. And we got another boner joke. There we go. But meanwhile, Sultana's corpse is brought to Jarek.
Yeah, she got killed.
I mean, he stabbed her good. Like, there was no doubt she was dead.
Yeah.
Dead. But
Jarek, DRT, dead right there.
Dead right there. Jarek has magic. He's a sorcerer. He's going to bring her back to life. But he's going to need some help. He's going to need a strobe light and more chopping mall music. You do those two things, and I got news for you. Things will come back to life. This is where we kind of see boobs, you know, with the strobe, we see boobs and hands, and they're celebrating her return, I suppose.
Hell yeah.
Like, you're back. Yay. I'm happy to see. Yeah. You definitely see some boobs, but you don't see boobs and face at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming, and I may have even heard that in the commentary track. I did do a 10 things on this movie some time back that I think it was indeed a body double. Evie then happens to be around and sees all this, and she's again not pleased because there's her man Jarek getting all touchy feely with another woman. And women are jealous creatures.
They are indeed.
Meanwhile, Deathstalker and Rena have made their way to the castle, and since you know it's her castle, she knows all the little secret ins and outs, the passageways and whatnot. And that's going to come into play here. But doesn't really help that much because Deathstalker is quickly captured. Surprised to see the woman he just killed a bit ago, Sultana. Rena's like, oh shit, I better get the hell out of here. Fight or flight. She chose flight. But she's stopped by some guards. And here we go, Chad Cruz. These guards are not very nice. They just start ripping this woman's clothes off.
Yeah.
And yeah, they are going to do something dastardly to her until Amazon saves the day.
Yeah, no secretions for you.
That's right, you bastards. Now we've got another classic setup because Sultana has Deathstalker tied up with the axe swinging above him gimmick, and it's getting closer and closer.
Doesn't someone say like, I expect you to die?
Exactly. Do the whole James Bond bit where he had the laser going to his balls.
Yeah.
They're doing the axe swinging. They didn't have lasers at this point. This could have been the end of the Deathstalker, but Princess Evie wants to see him. So
her
pig guards come in and we got to get this guy out of here. And he goes to her chambers. And she kind of looks him over and says, I could just eat you alive. And, you know, and he thinks, well, she's just, that's just dirty talk. And we get a sex scene. And yeah, but soon he's going to realize that it wasn't just sexy talk. This woman intends on eating him.
Yeah, but before that.
Okay. Yes, please. I skipped over the good part, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Or parts.
Yeah, there were several parts that were nice. I'd like to bring attention to one thing here, Brain, and I'm not a pervert.
Left or right Twix?
Both. I prefer both. Same time. I'd like to bring attention to one thing, and
please do.
And we've mentioned multiple times about
your secretions.
Secretions, but we've also talked about John Terlesky and how much we appreciate him as an actor in this film, and how cool and fresh feeling he seems as a hero. He's not your Arnold. He's not your fucking Barbarian Brothers. He's not some like rigid dude out here. He's like, he's funny. He's cool. But I noticed that during the sex scene, he sucked on a lot of titty.
Yeah.
A lot of nipple sucking. And you don't see that much in these lovemaking scenes because, you know, they're not, I'm sure they're not very comfortable when they're doing this. But it was good to see a man suck on a titty the way he sucked on that titty, because he did it quite a few times. And I was, because, you know, I'm trying to put myself in that place, you know, as if I'm Deathstalker and I've got this lovely woman on top of me.
Yeah.
I too would have been sucking on that titty.
Well, you know, I think it pays to be one of the people rewriting the script. And I think John Terlesky took advantage of the fact that he teamed up with Jim Wynorski.
You think suck on the titty was in the script?
It may have been.
He like wrote it in like,
wouldn't you? What, I mean, I can only imagine what Chad Cruz would do.
Yeah. They're like, the script is 82 pages and 40 of them are the sex scene. Like, ah, yes. Very artistic.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go.
It seemed more real. It seemed more than just like your
right
Skinamax, because he was, you know.
He was going for it. Yeah, he was having a good time. Yeah. You know, he said if he'd come save this princess, he would get a great reward. And I guess maybe that was his reward.
I don't think that's the full reward just yet.
Well, we'll see. But yeah, so that's happening. Realizes, wait a minute. Maybe she wants to eat me for real. And finally, Rena like pays him back for the 900 times he saved her. She shows up in the nick of time. And she's like, come on, we'll go through this secret passage. I've got a surprise. When you get out of the passage, they walk right into Jarek, Sultana, and like all the bad guys. What the hell kind of shit surprise is that? But no, that wasn't the surprise. The fact that she's got the Amazons on her side were the surprise. So we get this huge battle now. Big battle time. Just swords and people on fire. And it's pandemonium, Chad Cruz.
Yeah,
in the best way possible.
I believe there was a man with a trident at some point.
There usually is. It escalates quickly when these things start happening. And eventually we got to get down to our one-on-one matchups. We got Princess versus Princess. We got Deathstalker versus Jarek. And I am kind of perusing my 10 things you didn't know. Mm-hmm. And John Terlesky actually choreographed that final sword fight.
Wow.
Between he and Jarek the Sorcerer.
Okay.
So you want to know more of the 10 things, check them out, of course, on bulletproofaction.com. But yeah, we get the big sword fight, as you can imagine. I mean, this probably shouldn't be a shock to anyone who's ever seen a movie. Good triumphs over evil.
Yeah. You know, my son asked me one time, why do the good guys always win in movies?
Yeah. And what did you tell him?
I said they're not real.
Ah, very good. But what a life lesson that must have been.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm a realist, Brain.
Probably if you would show him some of your movies, though. I'm not talking about the six shit you got on there. I'm talking about some of your, like, from Korea and your international films. I bet you the good guys don't always win in those.
No, he's too young to be that depressed watching those.
That's what I'm saying. Those are... I'm too young to be that depressed, to be honest with you. I don't want to deal with it. I like to escape with movies and have a good time. And this certainly would qualify. But yeah, we get good triumphing over evil. Princess Rina back on her throne. Why isn't she the queen? Because the queen's in the nursing home, we've determined. Death Star is like, okay, time for my prize. The prize is her. Yay!
Yay!
And we
I already had your clone. It was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. So there we go. And we get the end credits. And this movie, again, not very long, and they stretch it as much as they can. We get like the little character screens.
It's like a sitcom, yeah.
Predator style, America style, where you get the end. Then they even throw in a couple bloopers to pad the credits. And we get a. We're in, we're out, 85 minutes. Final Death Stalker 2 thoughts, Chad Cruz.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, I guess the movie doesn't start out that hot, you know, like it doesn't kind of, it's not great from the beginning. There's no point at the beginning of the film where like this movie's going to be badass.
Yeah.
But it's like little things here and there that you really start to enjoy. You start to enjoy Terlecki as the hero, and you start to enjoy all the boobs that are everywhere. Those are great. And then I don't know. We talked about his charisma. Like there's just something about the guy that like, you want to know what he's going to say next, because as I said, this was if it wasn't the first time I've seen the whole like parts of the film, definitely the first time I've seen it all together as one showing. And I had a lot of fun. I didn't, you know, he had some good quips. I didn't know what he was going to do next. And it's not the kind of movie that's going to like throw you for a loop and, oh, look at that twist. I can't believe whose head's in the box, you know, but this one, it's certainly fun. It's different. It's different for sure than other movies in the genre and the subgenre, but in a good way, I think.
Even different than all the movies in the franchise. I mean, it's a complete departure in some ways to I mean, they all seem to have boobs in them.
Yeah, and I did Conan the Barbarian recently, and I did Red Sonja recently.
Yeah.
And I enjoy the hell out of both of those movies, but this one, not as good, but very different in a fun way.
Yeah, definitely, you know, I know some people really love the original Deathstalker and probably may not like this one because it is such a departure from what they were going for the first one. It is not probably something that Sword and Sorcery purists love. But if you're just kind of a casual fan of the genre or subgenre as it is, you might enjoy that. And that's where I land. Like I've enjoyed the Conan movies, but it's not like something I'm like super into and get into the lore and get into all the books and all the iterations of him over time. It's just whatever. Is it a cool guy killing people? You know, that's basically what I'm looking for. And we get that here. I echo your thoughts about Terlecki. He makes this movie. If you didn't have, I mean, we prove that with the next one. He does not come back for Deathstalker 3. And that one, I think, is universally the one everyone says is the worst of the Deathstalkers. And that was a rough one to get through.
I definitely don't think I've seen Deathstalker 1, the first one.
Okay.
What's...
Rick Hill is the Deathstalker in the first and the fourth. He comes back for the fourth. And it's more straightforward. There's a lot of boobs.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, you know, you had wenches and these women, and that's, you know, it was the world they lived in.
The strange thing about this one is it feels out of place, not because I've seen all the other ones, but because his name is Deathstalker. Everyone's calling him Deathstalker, but he's like this, just like this skinny dude who steals shit.
Yeah.
Like he looks like, he reminds me of Conan's comic relief.
Right.
Like he would be comic relief in a Conan film.
Yep.
Like the womanizer who's a thief. But in this movie, he's like the tough guy hero.
Conan's little brother.
his little bitch brother.
Yeah. So Deathstalker too, you know, you mentioned them earlier, the Barbarian Brothers. That's two more people we need to put on the list for 2024. We need to do something with the Barbarian Brothers.
Do we though?
Yes. I guess I'll make sure that's one. If Chad Cruz is unavailable, I'll find some poor sap to sit and watch a Barbarian Brothers movie with me. So there you go. Deathstalker 2. Duel of the Titans, if you will.
What were who were the Titans, by the way? The
I guess Jarek and Deathstalker.
Okay.
Maybe the Sultana.
The breasts.
Yeah, Sultana had a couple of Titans.
She did.
All right. Well, there you go, everybody. I'm very happy we got to cover Deathstalker 2, one I had not seen in a while. And when Chad left it up to me to pick our next movie last time, I was like, well, hope he likes this one. Let's talk about bulletproofaction.com before we go. Of course, we always encourage you to check things out over there. Ryan Campbell is going to be covering basically every show that exists. I know I have a few things in store, but we got a big week. We're going to open up the suggestion box, Chad, the week of Thanksgiving. You know, So many times we get comments on the site. Mm-hmm. We get tweets. We get, you know, comments on Facebook, on Instagram. Hey, you should do this. Hey, this. Hey, have you guys ever seen this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you should talk about this on a pod. We're going to be doing that the week of Thanksgiving. In the lineup, we've got some Bruce Lai. We've got some Steven Seagal. We've got Sylvester freaking Stallone.
Yep.
We've got some heavy hitters. And the podcast, we're going with a suggestion as well for that. Next time, right here on the Bulletproof Podcast, 1998's Point Blank, starring Mickey Rourke and Danny Trejo. This one, a suggestion from our friend Saurav Dutt. I know you have seen this. Mm-hmm. I have never seen it. It's perfect because if what you're saying is true, it's a diehard clone of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's what I remember.
We are in we will be in diehard season.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking forward to it, even though I know you didn't necessarily give it the most glowing review. You never know. Sometimes on a rewatch, things look differently.
And, yeah.
This will be a first time watch for me, so I'm going to come in with completely fresh eyes. And I think maybe we get the Toy Man involved.
I like it. Because, I like it.
You know, we need him involved. We need him there.
Is the voice of reason. Yeah.
Maybe because he's probably seen it.
He's
probably got it on DVD somewhere in a bin. And, you know, he's got everything.
I remember a few things about this movie, but I've forgotten most of them. This was very early in the Bulletproof Action days that I watched this.
But never did anything with it?
Did I not write a post on it?
I don't know if you did.
If I didn't, that doesn't bode well for my my enjoyment of the film.
Either that or you had too much rum.
I don't know if I was doing a lot of rum in the early days. I was drinking like 28 beers a day back then. Maybe, I moved on to rum.
Okay. Oh, yeah. When you got more sophisticated.
Yes. Yeah. Well, cheaper.
Point Blank. Let me take a look if I see anything. Maybe you did, and it was just so long ago that I don't even remember.
Don't spoil it for yourself by reading it. I'll have to read it to remember.
I'm just going to see if... Well, it's not on IMDb, so either I didn't link your review to it. I'm going to check our site. I'm going. I just told everyone to go. This is what people tune in for, is to wait for me.
Everybody go to the site. Everybody go to the site and start clicking.
Let's go. Let's go right now. What's this movie called? Point Blank.
Nope.
I don't think you
ever did anything. No. I must not have reviewed it. I must have disliked it that much.
There is the other Point Blank, the Frank Grillo one. That was a Ryan post.
Yeah, I like that I did the Coming Soon, but he actually reviewed it.
Yeah, that's classic Chad Cruz.
And you know what? I've still never seen that.
Yeah, you probably didn't have to, because you were like, oh,
yeah,
Ryan took it.
You want to review it? Sure. Go for it, dog.
Well, maybe we'll... Yeah, I've never seen that one. I've never seen any Point Blank. So Point Blank, what I'm telling you is we're going to do 1998's Point Blank on the next episode of the Bulletproof Podcast. I believe that will drop on Thanksgiving Eve. So anybody who may
be... Oh, my God.
...traveling...
Yes.
You know, and they may have a chance to listen, and we'll have a brand new podcast for those people who are looking for something to listen to as they go get ready to shovel food in their face and deal with family members that they may not have seen since last Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You know, I've actually got some, and I've had a lot of things happen in the last year.
Yeah.
And,
Are you going to have Thanksgiving at your house, your new house?
I don't think so, because I haven't redone my kitchen yet. Mm. That's going to be after the first of the year. So okay. I really feel like it would be kind of embarrassing.
You're not ready yet. I understand.
No, I'm working on some other projects, and the kitchen's getting pushed back to next year, 2024. So, I think we're going to be probably doing a little split action this year. Probably go a couple different places, but
that means even more food.
I know. And you know, it sucks. I eat so much shit already that Thanksgiving is like pure gluttony, and I don't enjoy it.
You should fast these next 2 weeks beforehand, then. That won't happen. I'm not going to do that either. Okay. No. Well, there you go. So next time out, 1998's Point Blank. And again, that whole Monday through Friday, that whole week, we will be doing things out of the suggestion box. I'm looking forward to my movie because it's the Bruce Lee movie, and I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Toy Man, he's got
pretty obvious.
Steven Seagal, you've got one of your classic Chad Cruz. I didn't have to watch a movie post.
I'm gonna rewatch it.
You're gonna watch it to get.
I've got to get in the zone, dude.
Gotcha.
First, you know what I'll probably do is probably put the news on for about 20 minutes, and I'll get all angry and fired up.
Yeah.
And then I'll watch the movie, and then
And then you'll put it all together.
I'll drink a bunch.
Emotion, and I can't wait. That's going to be the Thanksgiving post, Chad. So you got to. It's very important.
Dude, I'm going to be blowing people's minds with this.
That's a holiday spectacular. And maybe it could spark conversation at the dinner table.
Definitely. That people are going to be talking about this place for the for the next 20 years probably.
Okay, let's hope 20 people click the goddamn thing. All right, so there you go. Thanksgiving week, it's coming. This year's rapidly leaving us, so that's coming up. All right, anything else, Chad? Anything else you want to say? We've almost hit an hour. Yeah, I always try to give everybody at least an hour's worth of entertainment.
I feel like if you can't go for at least 60 minutes, are you really having sex? What are we talking about?
I don't know. You're looking at your other Google tab again.
I am. Yeah. Sorry.
It's pretty. Never mind. So no, you have nothing.
I got nothing.
You have nothing to provide us.
Nope, that was it.
Great.
I think I've given enough, Brian.
You've given too much, probably, when you really think about it. All right. Well, thank you, Chad, for joining me once again for this stirring rendition of Deathstalker 2 done by the Bulletproof Podcast team. I want to thank everybody for listening. And as always, stay tuned for more of the Bulletproof Podcast.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.